Hi, you're listening to a podcast brought to you by the teaching team at New Life in North Lincolnshire. New Life is committed to helping transform people and transform places through the love and power of Jesus Christ. We hope you, in some small way, will be blessed and transformed by this message.
Well, good morning, everyone. Well, they were tough questions, weren't they? I am so glad I wasn't on those hot seats. I think I would have clammed up totally. That was great. Well done. You handled those questions. Oh, you're a hard taskmaster, Dina. Oh, yeah, they were tough. I was squirming in my seat. I thought, I hope she's not going to pick on me. They were great. This is me and my dad. And 1967. And we came second in the father and son contest. I expected more of a reaction than that. We came second in a father and son contest. Out of all the fathers and sons in the world, I came second. Is that great? No, it was Butlins. Butlins in Minehead, 1967. I don't look very happy at all, do I really? I think we'd have come first if my mum hadn't insisted on giving me one of those bowl haircuts, by the look of it. I think Jimmy Connors was around at the time, and she probably saw his haircut and thought, oh, that'll suit my boy. But maybe if she'd given me a bit more stylish cut, we'd have come first, and I could have really boasted to you all this morning. Anyway, I'm sure lots of you have got pictures like that of you and your dads, or you and a loved one, or you and someone who cared for you and brought you up, and it's good. We want to celebrate that kind of thing. This morning, I want to bring you a simple, really simple, but vital truth that is helpful for anyone who's a visitor here or new here, just popping in, popping out, or maybe you're really new to the faith, but also really vital for us who have been on the journey a long, long time. Because as Paul the Apostle said, who seemed to get fed up of repeating things to churches, he said, have I again got to tell you this? And the truth is, we all need reminding of stuff, don't we? It doesn't matter whether you've been a Christian 60, 70 years. You need reminding of stuff, of real vital, simple truths. And my hope this morning is that we can just look at one simple truth that will really help us, and particularly on Father's Day. So my eldest son, Jordan, and his wife, Jess, they're over in Sydney, Australia. They're making their home over there. He's going for Australian citizenship, and they're going to grow up over in Australia. And they're expecting their first child. And so, which is great. I mean, it's absolutely fantastic. But, of course, the most important thing about all that situation, the most important thing is, what am I going to be called? That's the most important thing. I mean, we celebrate the baby and parents and joyful parents, but of course the most important thing is, what's the child going to call me, right? It's quite a selfish thing. So, and we've been trying to work this out. Are there any grandpas in the room? One. Any grandfathers in the room? Oh, there were three. Any grandfathers in the room? Any granddads? Oh, okay, that's good. This is all helpful for me. It's all on video. I'm going to do a survey. Any Papas in the house? Papas. Any pops in the house? Any other strange ones you can give me recommendations for?
Gandalf.
Gandalf. Are you really called Gandalf? That's it. Well, you don't have the beard for it, Paul, at all. You are a clean-shaven man. I have no idea how that came about. One suggestion that came to me was that they could teach their child to call me Whiskers. Which I thought, that's not very good at all. That's so little respect level, doesn't it? It's like they'll call their Australian granddad or papa or something, and then the one over in Britain they'll call Whiskers. Shall we ring Whiskers up? I mean, it's just sound like a cat, don't I? Anyway, I don't know. I'm sort of torn on what to be called. And names are important. Titles of what you call people actually are important. I mean, in certain situations they're not, but in lots of cases they are, because a name, a word, can bring with it an idea of something else, right? And let's think about this wonderful, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-powerful, omnipotent, creator God. The God who thunked everything up. The God who the Bible says, by his word, all things hold together. If his will wasn't around, everything would dissipate and nothing would exist. Let's think about that God and what we call him, right? If when you're thinking about God, if when you're speaking about God, you use the word God, you are speaking factually, truthfully. You get that? If when you're speaking about God, you use the word Lord, how many use the word Lord? You're speaking submissively. It's great. It's fabulous. The word Lord's in the Bible. If when you're speaking about God, you use the word Savior, you're speaking gratefully. See, all these words mean something, and they say something about us and our relationship with God. And of course, it's good to call God Savior. If you call God Father, doesn't that sound a little audacious to you? Doesn't that sound a little brave and very daring? I mean, because this isn't Butlin's dad we're talking about, who probably made a mistake straight after that photo was taken, or did something he shouldn't have done, or said something he shouldn't have done. And we're talking about the all-powerful, perfect, omniscient creator God, who by his will holds everything together, and we call him Father. It's worth pausing and thinking, because we know, don't we? We know that there are parts of Scripture that encourage us to call God Father. But when you think about it, you think that's quite an audacious thing for you and I, poor sinners as we are, to be able to call the one who is so far from sin, Father. Or even, as in one part of the Bible, we're encouraged to, Daddy. Just something warm. Warm. It's not quite Daddy, but there's a warmth to it. There's an intimacy to it. I find that quite a profound idea. When you stop and think, you look at some people and you think, oh, I can call them this nice warm term. I can call them this nice warm term. But when you think of someone who is so lofty and perfect, it just sounds a little audacious. Let's turn to a passage of Scripture, and there's just an extract of it going to appear on the screen. It's from Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 to 27. Perhaps we could read it together. It's just this one screen. Here we go. Jesus said, "No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." We're going to come back to that a little later, but for now, let's just pray, shall we? Why don't you pop your hand somewhere near your heart? Father, we thank you because we can call you Father. We don't always understand why or how, but we do. And so we come to you this morning and we ask that you would will to bless us this morning as we listen, as we hear, as we learn. Jesus, we thank you for all that you have accomplished to make this even possible. And Holy Spirit, we acknowledge and welcome your presence here this morning. Guide us to Father. Change our hearts, change our minds. Would you give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts to obey? And everyone said, Amen. Amen. Here's something interesting, which you may have thought about, you may not have thought about. When Jesus is talking about God, he uses the word Father, but more often than not, he uses this phrase, my Father. My Father. Can you say that? My Father. And you can read that. When you read through the Gospels, you have a look at the times when he uses the word Father, but then how often he uses the phrase together, my Father. when he's talking to people about his relationship with God, he will say, my father this, my father this, my father and I. Me and my father. He will use that phrase, my father. When he's referring to his followers, and let's put ourselves in that position this morning if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. When he's talking to his followers about their relationship with God, he'll use the phrase, your father. Your father. Okay? Now you might think, well, that's normal. Actually, it's not normal, because when we're in that situation, we would use the phrase, our Father. Okay? See, God is our God. God is our Father, right? So when Jesus is talking about his relationship with God, he says, my Father. When he's referring to his disciples, his followers, he talks about it being your Father. The phrase our Father appears once in the New Testament. Just in case you're thinking there must be loads of it. There isn't. It appears once. And do you know where it appears? At the beginning of what we call the Lord's Prayer. The first two words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father. And you think, oh, well, there you are. You've just shot yourself in the foot, Russ. Jesus is referring to himself and the disciples together en masse and saying, our Father. Well, of course he isn't. Because the disciples asked him a question. His followers said to Jesus, how should we pray? And Jesus said, when you pray, you lot should say, our Father. So he's still not calling him and the disciples all together saying, let's call God our Father. There is something distinct about Jesus' relationship with God and the followers' relationship with God. It's interesting. So the phrase, our Father, appears just once, and the only time that appears is if it's like you sit in front of Jesus and you all shout out, Jesus teaches how to pray, and he says, I'm going to give you some words now. Pray this way. Say, our Father. And they say, our Father. By the way, for anyone who has trouble praying and thinking, I don't know how to pray at home. I don't know how to do my daily devotions. I can't just make up words and phrases. I'm not very creative. I get stuck. Let me tell you, just pray the Lord's Prayer. As Pentecostals and as evangelicals in our more charismatic end of the scale, sometimes we run away from the Lord's Prayer as a practice to say. We think, oh, that was just like something that Jesus encouraged the disciples, but we make our own up here. We're super Christians. We make our own. In fact, we'll say that one as little as we can because it's been Catholicized and Anglicized out. We will refrain from. Big mistake. If a crowd says to Jesus, Jesus teaches how to pray, and he says, say this, then let's say it. And so I would encourage you, if you are ever stuck, and particularly if you're going through a time when it's really tough and you don't have the words or the way to express what you're going through, say the Lord's Prayer. Say it slowly. Say it quietly. And if you're in a group of people, a small group, and you want to know how to say something together, well, how about the prayer that starts with the word our? That's a good one. Our Father. Because it immediately binds you together. Anyway, so why have I made this link about Jesus talking about my Father, and then he teaches other people to think about you and your Father? Well, because the verse we read, if we could pop it back up on, I don't know whether we can do that. It says this, no one knows the Son except, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Let me tell you, the Son's relationship with Father is different. It is different. The Son knows Father better than you know Father. The Father knows the Son better than he knows you. There is something there, and Jesus says it. And so, maybe this is stretching a bit far, but in acknowledging God as Father, Jesus doesn't include himself in like the big mass or gaggle of people like us. He acknowledges that there is something different and distinct and unique about his relationship with God. You'll see that this isn't bad news when I get there. So that verse tells us that only the Son knows the Father, right? So let's get this. We are introduced to the Father through the Son. That's another distinctive about Christianity. And we need to understand this and be reminded of it. You can't leapfrog the Son to get to Father. Hello? You can't. There isn't a bypass built around Jesus to get to the Father. Here's a famous verse, John 14. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Say the next bit together. Is there a bypass around Jesus? No. You want to know the Father. You want to have the Father as your destination and come to the Father. How do you get there? Through Jesus. Jesus introduces us to the Father. Now, this is vital. Let me tell you why this is vital, even though it's quite a simple truth. It's vital not because of the terminology at all. It's vital because of the truth of it. It's a real core belief. And it's a core belief for us to have and cling to and remind ourselves of as we go along in this journey of faith, not least because Jesus said these things out of his own lips. It's not Paul the Apostle, who we can argue over a lot. It's not Matthew or Mark or Luke, who we can argue over a lot. It's not some ancient Roman historian writing about it. This is out of Jesus' lips. And so it's good to remind ourselves of that the only way to get to come to know, to experience all that Father has for us is through Jesus. And that's why as a church here, one of our big things is we are Jesus-centric. We do believe that the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in order that humanity might know them to the fullest, pushed Jesus to the center stage and allowed that to happen. So that the Father could be known through the Son, and so that the Holy Spirit could be sent by the Son when the Son returned to heaven. Jesus is allowed to be center stage. And so as a church, we have no problem with us talking about Jesus more than we might talk about Father or more than the Spirit. Talking about Jesus more than we might talk about a vague concept of God, because that is what we see. And when Jesus himself says, you want to know Father, then I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. Now, just on a little aside here for men, especially men who still cling to the idea of being men. When you talk about God, it can sound quite a good thing to talk about. When you talk about Jesus, it can sound to your own ears a little bit soft. I love Jesus. Don't let that idea sink into your spirit. Don't let it sink into your spirit. Men, be willing to talk about Jesus. Talk about Jesus. Let the idea of Jesus loving you and welcoming you be a crucial thing in your life. Don't leave it to the ladies to spread the word about Jesus while you talk about God. Jesus is the way to the Father. Park that idea. Might come back to it some other time. So, it's not about terminology, but it's about truth. And why this truth matters to everyone, I'll explain in a second. But it particularly matters to you if your only experience of a Father is one that has been ambivalent, one that has been absent, or one that has been abusive. If that is your experience of a father, then not only do we feel deep hurt and sorrow for you, but you need to understand this truth that we're getting to in a second. Here's three things I want you to remember. One, we don't come to know God by projecting onto him an image of our own fathers. Can we say that out loud? We don't come to know God as Father by projecting onto him an image of our own father. It's good to confess these things out loud. Now, some of you might think, I had an amazing father, and I can see God in my father. Well, that's great. And some people had an absent father or an abusive father or an ambivalent father towards them. And they can't see that at all. And if they even try to project their image of father onto God, it gets all messed up. So we mustn't do that. But that's easier said than done, isn't it? Because we're all human. And we need help. And we walk journeys with people to learn that we mustn't do that. And even when we try not to, sometimes the thoughts and the ideas take us by surprise. And that is okay. Thank goodness we don't have to get everything right and righteous in one fell swoop. Here's the second thing that we've got to learn. We don't come to know God by projecting onto him an image of an ideal father. We say that out loud and then let me explain it. We don't come to know God as father by projecting onto him an image of an ideal father. Now that seems a strange thing to say. But why does it? Well, it's simple as this. If we asked all of you this morning, we'd probably have 250 different ideas of what an ideal father might be. I might come over here and ask Dave what an ideal father is, and he might say, ideal father, 6'1", gives me all the lollipops I need, buys me a year's subscription to Netflix, will cause Aston Villa to win the Premiership year after year, those kind of things, right? And I ask someone else what an image of an ideal father is, and they say, one who's just with me all the time, just able to help me with this and fix this and be able to do this for me. He just says the right things handy all the time. And so we have different ideas of what an ideal father is. Can you see that? I mean, we have different ideas of what an ideal husband is, or an ideal wife is, or an ideal child, and children have a different idea of what the ideal sibling would be. We know that's how it works. And so here's a danger that we try and project onto God our image of an ideal father. Actually, that's only one step away from making God a figment of your imagination. Can you see that? The gap isn't big. If we project onto God our image of an ideal father, it's not much further before we get to the point that he's just what we imagine. Here's the truth that we cannot get away from. That we come to know God as Father by entering into the relationship Jesus has with his Father. We come to know God as Father by entering into the relationship that Jesus already has with his Father. Let me have a volunteer or two. Tom, come and join me, because you were staring at me, and that's a very dangerous thing to do. Phil, come on. Phil Perks, come on. Here we go. Never look at me again during a sermon. That's absolutely... Mark Chappell, come on. You just glanced at me then in a glancy kind of way. Okay, so you're Jesus for this example, Mark, just so you know. Okay. So, I know, here's someone who wants to know God as Father. And they project onto God their image of their father. Okay? And that's what you see God as. Now, I don't know your story at all. Only you know your story. But I can guarantee you this, that your father is not as perfect as God. Okay? To whatever degree, that's not the case. And at some point along your journey, you will find a huge gulf between what you think and believe and know about God and what God's truth is, what he's really like. Now, here's Phil, and he wants to know God. Don't know what's quite funny about that, but he wants to know God. And what you want to do is you take an ideal version of a father, okay, and you make it up in your head, because you haven't read the Bible 20 times through, you don't know everything, who does, right? And so you make it up in your head, and you think, that's what I'm going to pursue. And then when things turn out not quite like your ideal father would have done, you become despondent and hurt, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, here's Jesus. This is Jesus. It's not Mark, okay? This is Jesus. Jesus already has a relationship with Father, because we read it. What did Jesus say? No one knows the Father except... And no one knows the Son except... Can you see how different that relationship already is in its simplest terms from these and from all of us? No one knows the Father except the Son. And no one knows the Son except the Father. There's Mark. There's Jesus. And you're trying to form your relationship with Father God. And you're doing your best because you're projecting onto him your idea of your Father. And you're trying to know God. And you're projecting onto him the image of an ideal Father. And a lot of people are doing that in the world right now, in this generation. They're trying to figure out what God is like by projecting onto him their moral standards and their values and their virtues and what they really think. Here's what Jesus says. You want to know God as Father? You're going to hug, okay? You want to know God as Father? Now, he's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. And Jesus says, come through me. Yeah. And he's going to pray a prayer, and we're going to read that prayer in a second. And Jesus said, Father, in the same way as you love me, love these. Let them know you like I know you. Let them inherit a relationship with Father because they have a relationship with me. Now, that's embarrassing. You can go back. Big round of applause for these. They're really good. Here's what Jesus prayed. John chapter 17 will appear on the screen. We're going to say this out loud as well because we love the Bible. Here we go. Nice and loud, everyone. Father, I want them to be with me and see how you have loved me from before the creation of the world. I have made you known to them in order that the love you have for me may be in them. Are you getting this? Doesn't matter where we've been a Christian for a long, long time. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter whether we're just trying to find God. If there's a God, if you are their God, then show me. And God says, I've shown you. I've shown you. He's called Jesus. And Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. And it doesn't matter where on our journey we are, we have to remind ourselves of that. Because I find myself just, I want to know God. And as you want to know God more and you investigate all the theological this and the doctrinal this and you're studying all the great studies and reading papers and you think, I want to know God's heart, I want to know what God's heart. It's easy to forget about Jesus, which is who the Father says This is how I reveal myself to the world. So I urge you, I urge all of us, on this Father's Day, as we think about the Supreme Father, he's not like your dad. He's not like your dad. Even if you had the best dad, he's not like your dad. He's not like your idea of an ideal dad. What he's like is the dad that Jesus had, who loved Jesus before the foundation of the world, who said out loud, "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." The closeness of the relationship that Jesus had with Dad is what we enter into, but is a relationship we have through Jesus Christ. So if you're here this morning, and whether you're a believer, being a believer for a long time, or whether you're a visitor or a newcomer, and if you've lost that sense of what Father is like, what God is like, then the challenge for all of us is to get back to the way and the truth and the life and ask this question: what is my relationship with Jesus like? Because your relationship with Jesus will determine what you see as Father. And God is a good Father. And he's good because I know he's good, because I know how he loved Jesus. I see how he loved Jesus. I see how they related. And not only is that a Father I want, but if I embrace Jesus, I have that relationship with Father. Let's close our eyes. Many dads would have got cards this morning or a note or two saying, "Hey, you're the best. Love you, Dad. Thank you for this, thank you for that." And that's great. And maybe this morning all of us could just in some way turn our eyes to God. And say, "Father, we know you're the best. We know you're good. And we don't know it because we've made you up. We don't know it because you're a little bit like my dad. We know it because how you love Jesus. We know it because we see Jesus and we see you. We see you in Jesus and Jesus in you. And so we turn our eyes and we say, we will pursue the way. His name is Jesus. We will pursue the truth. His name is Jesus. We will pursue the life. His name is Jesus. And as we know the Son, we know the Father. Jesus, thank you for making the Father known to us. For opening your arms so wide on the cross, saying, "Come to me." What an expression of love. Thank you for conquering that very thing that so many believe separates them from God the Father, death. Conquering it and rising again into life and saying, "Look, there's still way to the Father. Even death can't keep you away from him. Come to me. I am the way and the truth and the life."
Thanks for listening to this message from New Life in North Lincolnshire. To find out more, do visit us online at newlifechurch.uk. Or why not pay us a visit? We'd love to see you.